Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, it's been a while, but today we're going to turn our attention to career. And later in the program, we'll talk about potential for career transition at middle age. How can you and I find that job that's just right for us if we're not that happy where we are? But first, let's talk about helping out our young adult sons and daughters, recent college graduates, or juniors or seniors who will be graduating from college in a year or two. And I know in the U.S. we're supposedly still slowly coming out of recession, but here's a shocker. The Washington Post reports that more than 75% of today's college students graduate without a job, and to compound the problem, they've got student loans to repay that average around $30,000. And does the 75% of unemployed grads include your daughter or son? If so, you've probably got your hands a discouraged new grad who's headed for the family basement to try to figure things out. Oh, there are jobs out there. Check out your nearest Wendy's or McDonald's. But your son or daughter did not dedicate 4 years of life, study hard for finals, and borrow $30,000 to flip burgers. And most parents give graduating seniors a present in honor of their accomplishment. So what's the best gift we can give our new graduates as they begin the arduous and often frightening task of launching a career? Well, here's a unique suggestion. Self-help coach and author Sarah Brown, Ph.D., contends the best gift is encouragement and support, and I presume that includes more than a simple good luck and a pat on the back. And Dr. Brown is here to explain. And Sarah Brown, Ph.D., spent over 30 years in corporate America, having worked for Bell System, DuPont, and Accenture, and she spent 15 years of focus on talent management. And she reports that she kept seeing employees land in the wrong jobs, ones that didn't interest them or for which they were not naturally inclined. But she also observed individuals who were able to escape workday depression by getting out or radically redesigning their jobs. And as CEO of Know Thyself LLC, she now devotes full time to helping individuals to achieve happiness, success, and understanding in their chosen pursuits. And she's author of a unique personalized self-help book titled The Book of You. And wait until you learn more about it. You can help write your very own book. And hello, Dr. Sarah Brown, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Roy, and what a lovely introduction that was.
Well, let's begin with recent or soon-to-be college graduates. Why is it that so many students graduate from college without a clear vision of what they want out of life and out of their career and of the kinds of jobs that they that would play to their passions, strengths, and needs? Isn't that what college placement services are for?
Well, I think that's what the college placements would like to target. But as you quoted, the Washington Post and others are reporting that a substantial number of our college graduates are coming out without having jobs.
Yeah.
And I think there are two reasons for that. The first reason is that a lot of college graduates don't really know what they want. And if they think they know, they can't explain why that job is a good match for who they are uniquely. And the second reason is they don't have experience. Awful lot of employers right now are looking to staff even entry-level positions with people who've got experience in the various things that they care about. And an awful lot of the automated recruiting tools right now are keyed into going and finding that experience. So the thing that parents, grandparents, and those who love these graduates can do is to help the graduates get clear about what they want so that they can put that into these online applications and into their resumes. and help them get key experiences so that they can be found as well.
Yeah, I remember when I got into my first job, I was so disappointed because I had this broad liberal arts education, and here I go into a job where they say, we need you to do this specific task and this specific thing and do it this way and that way, and it was just such a letdown. Good Lord, is this the real world? Am I going to spend the rest of my career, working up the ladder and doing exactly what I'm told, not really using all the education I have? So
well, and it's not so much the education, although that is really important. The really critical thing in terms of finding happiness and success in a job is, are you pursuing your passions and are you using your unique strengths?
Yeah, that's where I blew it very badly in my first few jobs. Well, in your opinion, why do so few college placement services succeed in helping juniors and seniors assess their talent, personalities, and desire and set their goals and then place them in jobs where, I guess, they just have too many students to deal with? Or what's the problem with this?
Well, I think there are a number of factors, but the biggest factor is a lot of students don't take advantage of all the placement offices have to offer. And a lot of placement offices have a plethora of tools and assessments and things that will help an individual get clear about what he or she is interested in, and a lot of students don't take advantage of that. So that's one thing. And I think another thing is that the onus is really on the individual. It is his or her responsibility to be clear about what he or she wants and then to go after it. So the student needs to take a lot of responsibility.
That's a real good point you make. I think so many students naively think, well, the placement service will find the job that's right for me, and I don't really have to concentrate on that. They say they place 95% of their graduates, and so I'm sure the recruiters will just come knocking at my door, and I'll be in nirvana. What are four things that a recent college graduate or any of us should know about his or her personality before making any major career or life decision?
There are four things that I think are critically important. The first one is understanding what your interests and your passions are. So it's one thing to be inspired by a cause, and that's important. Like you may be interested in saving the planet and focused on ecology and the like. But what's really important and is going to generate whether you're happy in a job is whether you like the day-to-day activities that you're working on.
Yeah, that's
and so,
so crucial.
It's important to understand what those are. Yeah. You know, such things as, do you need to be outside or do you prefer to be inside? It's simple things like that. How much do you want to interact with people versus working alone? So there are a lot of keys like that in terms of understanding what you're passionate about in terms of day-to-day activities. And I think that may relate to the job situation that you had when you first had, is whether or not those job activities you had were really important to you. And I suspect, based on what you said, they were not.
Yeah, I didn't pay any attention to it. I did take a placement exam when I was a senior, I think, between junior and senior year of college, and it told me I should be a newspaper editor, maybe a minister, or a named a social worker, and I ignored all that and went into corporate finance. So maybe I should have listened. But so that's the first thing. What are the other three?
The second thing is understanding what your strengths behaviors are. These are things that you have learned as a way to be successful, and they become natural to you.
Yeah.
Such things as, how empathetic are you? I have one of my colleagues, Dan Perryman, uses an analogy of distinguishing between Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk. In other words, how good are you at listening to others and distinguishing fact from feeling? So Mr. Spock, for example, is all fact and no feeling. Captain Kirk, on the other hand, can listen to anybody and everybody, including Mr. Spock, and then process things and make a decision. So one is not right or wrong, but it depends upon the situation as to whether or not it's a strength. If, for example, the Starship Enterprise is in trouble, you want a Mr. Spock on the case. But you don't want Mr. Spock taking a customer service call, for example, where it's important
to
be empathetic.
He has good ears to listen, but you'd think with those ears he'd be good at listening.
Exactly. So it's important to understand what an individual's unique behavioral strengths are and the situations and kinds of jobs in which they will be naturally a fit. So that's the second thing. The third thing is motivational needs. We all have them, and they are the things that give us energy as opposed to putting us into stress. So, for example, I use an analogy that my grandfather used to use is what he called the rush and wait versus wait and rush phenomenon. So think about when you go to the airport. Do you go early and wait, or do you rush at the very last minute?
Hopefully
so
I go
when
early.
when thinking about a job, you want to think about what you need in order to thrive and the kind of environment that the particular job you're considering has. So I happen to be the kind of person that rushes and waits. I do very little well at the very last minute and under extreme tension. So when I'm in a work environment that requires a lot of last minute kinds of activities, it creates stress for me. And that stress detracts from my ability to succeed, and it detracts from my ability to be happy. So the third thing that we need to understand is what do we personally need, and the kind of environment that's going to give that to us. And the fourth thing that we need to understand is what is it that we are likely to do if our needs are not met? And this is the kind of behavior that we would tend to demonstrate in those stressful situations. And they often become derailers, career derailers for people because they don't know what they are. And if we're keenly aware of what our needs are and what our potential stress behavior is, we can recognize that and then refocus attention on getting those needs met as opposed to acting out in stress, which could create more of a mess for us. So with knowledge of those four things, then people can begin to narrow down on the jobs that are right for them and the work environments that will allow them to succeed.
Yeah, I like when you talk about an advice you pass on to a recent graduates once they really know what they want and the companies that are likely to give them what they are, the employers, not necessarily companies, and then they can turn into the job interview, not just to sell themselves, but also a pick your boss exercise,
as you put
it, because it's obviously a two-way street.
Exactly.
I was going to say you mentioned internships, and I wondered, are internships readily available? Where do you find those if, you know, your student graduate wants to start out and try something out?
Well, there are lots of internships, but there are lots of things that people can just volunteer to do. So, for example, if you're thinking about a career with animals or you're thinking about going back to become a vet, then you can always go to an animal shelter and volunteer your time or even walk into a local veterinarian office and say, can I work here for a couple hours a week just to get a feel for it? By doing that, you get a clue around what the work environment is going to do. And you can narrow things, you can narrow the type of jobs in or out. And certainly it's the kind of thing you want to do before you invest even more money going back to school.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's turn our attention a little bit to mom and dad, to us at middle age. And all almost recent government statistics show a declining 4.7% unemployment rate. Polls indicate that more than half of us Americans are unhappy in our current jobs. At middle age, is it realistic to contemplate changing careers or making the current job more attractive, or are we pretty much stuck until retirement?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think it is ever too late to discover what your interests and your strengths are and to craft the job that is right for you. A lot of people are being forced into that with the restructuring that is going on right now in America.
Yeah.
So they're finding themselves laid off and in a position where they've got to do this kind of assessment quickly. But
yeah.
It can be done right in the middle of your own job right now. And
yeah.
Very simple things can be done to actually increase satisfaction even in your current job. So, for example, let's go back to what I was talking about in terms of outdoor interests. Let's suppose
yeah.
that you have that and you are in a job where you don't get that. Just knowing that piece of information gives you a lot of things that you can do to immediately increase your happiness. You can
yeah.
make sure you get outside on weekends. You can move your desk
yeah.
closer to a window. You can make sure you eat lunch outside. Just
yeah.
doing things like that will increase your satisfaction immediately. So, yes, there are things that we can do now.
Yeah. It might not engage and involve a major change to your workplace, but can you give us a few – well, you gave us some examples of what you can do. Can you give us a few common potential obstacles to success and happiness in your career and any suggestions on how best to overcome them?
Well, you mentioned one, and that was around your boss.
Yeah.
And I have in several of my books the Choose Your Boss exercise because I think that's really important. The research
yeah.
is showing that more often than not, when people leave a job voluntarily, they're
yeah.
leaving because of a conflict with their boss.
So
working on that first and foremost is a really good idea.
Yeah.
So one way that you can do that is by sharing who you are uniquely with your current boss and saying, if you want to get the most from me, here's some things that you might want to know about. And
yeah.
here's some things that you might be able to tweak so that I can better support you.
Yeah,
and
instead of just asking what you want or demanding something from your boss, you make that suggestion. This is who I am, and I think I can contribute more if perhaps we change the way I'm doing things or, propose what you want out of more to bring more benefit to the job, both for you and for your boss. But,
correct. And then let's go back to the idea of motivational needs that I was talking about. It may be that your boss is not in a position to actually satisfy that, whatever
yeah.
need that is. You can
yeah.
go about getting it some other way, perhaps
yeah.
from your coworkers.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, speaking of retirement, which is for many of us only a few short years away, are there steps we can take now to help ensure our retirement years will be joyful, vibrant, and productive, and that we don't end up bored and disappointed?
Absolutely.
I guess it's kind of the same type of exercise you go through.
Absolutely. It is, in fact, the same type of exercise. It's getting very clear about interests and passions and strengths and figuring out the kinds of activities, whether that's work for pay or it's volunteer activities that will support that. On my blog, on my website, bookofyou.com, I have a couple of stories up right now on how people anticipating retirement have done just that.
Oh.
And in my upcoming book, Let Your Personality Be Your Career Guide, I've got some similar stories around people who have done that as well. So, and it boils down to understanding what am I passionate about, what would I enjoy doing on a day-in and day-out basis, and what strengths do I have to apply to that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your very unique personalized self-help book, The Book of You, where the you is the name of the reader. And how is your book different from all the other self-help books out there? I know it's very different, but tell us a little how it is different.
I believe it is the only self-help book out there that is completely customized to the reader.
Yeah,
so when a reader gets one of my books, he or she takes a personality profiling instrument. It only takes 30 minutes, and it's a world-renowned instrument. It's like Myers-Briggs on steroids, if your listeners are familiar with that.
Yeah.
And when we get the data back from that, we're able to generate a book within just a few short minutes just for the reader and send that to his or her email inbox. And then we can follow up with a Kindle version or an iBook version or even a printed version with the person's picture on the front. So what the book does is it highlights the individual's interests, strengths, needs, and stress behaviors like we've been talking about today.
Yeah.
And then it takes the reader through a series of exercises around translating that into job choices and job changes that will increase their happiness and their success and their sense of being understood.
Yeah,
and for the go ahead.
I just was going to say that sounds like a wonderful substitute from hiring a personal job counselor. You know, there are enough good ones to go around, and it's obviously a lot more costly probably if you have extensive counseling sessions and you're getting a lot of the same through this procedure that you're talking about.
I don't want to discount the power of counseling because it's all very good.
Yeah.
But it all is based upon the individual being to tell the counselor or somehow communicate the information about what he or she is interested in, good at, and what will motivate him. And this particular book is a great way to jumpstart that process. And it even contains a companion career management guide, which has specific job choices that are tailor-matched to the individual's profile with hyperlinks into the U.S. Department of Labor's database that has specific information about those specific jobs. And it's all a great way to jumpstart the whole process.
I wish I'd had a book like that when I was starting out. I probably would have had a very different career from what I did. But well, where do we go to order the book of you or learn more about it? I assume you have a website we can go to for that. Or
yes, it is bookofyou.com. Just like the name of the book, bookofyou.com.
Oh, that's pretty
and
simple.
It contains information on where you get your own customized book, blogs, and some other useful tips.
Yeah, it was loaded with useful information. I like that website a lot. Well, in conclusion, following my graduation in a couple of years in the Navy, I sort of fell into a career in business and remained in it for 30 years. And most of the time, as you say, it's not good enough to be happy enough. I was happy enough, but there were a few jobs in there that I downright despised. And I only wish years ago I had access to Sarah Brown's methods and advice and her book of you. And if your young adult daughter or son is unemployed, underemployed, or maybe they took a job quickly out of school and they're in the wrong job, they know it already, I highly recommend Sarah Brown's book and her process. And by the way, that might be the greatest graduation gift ever. And if you're not loving what you're doing for a living, how about the book of you as a gift to yourself? And we continually emphasize on our program, as we emphasize, you're never too old to change, and there's no point in spending the majority of your waking hours doing something you don't want to be doing. And it is possible to be paid for what you love, and you'll contribute a lot more if you're doing what you love than if you're doing what you hate. And thank you so much, Dr. Sarah Brown, and best of success with getting your message out there.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My guest today, Dr. Sarah Brown, talked about an all-too-common challenge these days for young adults as they launch their careers. Is your son or daughter among the 75% of college students who graduate without a job and a $30,000 student loan albatross around their neck? If not out of work, perhaps your son or daughter has settled into a job far below what they expected when they got out of school. And if not now, maybe at some point in the future, they'll face that dilemma. And I love Dr. Brown's suggestions on how to counsel and inspire your unemployed or underemployed graduate. In fact, the same advice applies to those of us at middle age who are unemployed or are considering a career change. And we're talking about a reasonable interlude before launching a job search to take what I label as a mental vacation. That's a period of personal assessment, perhaps with professional guidance, of passions, strengths, talents, and goals. when you think about it, why would anyone launch a job search without a clear career destination in mind? You know, you can't get there without a roadmap or GPS. And once they target a career path, along with a realistic entry-level position, your recent graduate can design a self-marketing campaign with that career destination in mind. And before we go, I'd like to add one more touch of encouragement. So often in life, in yours, mine, and in that of our children, a huge setback or a seemingly insurmountable challenge works out for the best over time. Recall my guest on last week's program, Stephen Roberts. Shortly before he was scheduled to start college, Stephen's sister was in a bad car wreck. His parents planned funding for Stephen's college went into his sister's medical bills instead. Very bad for him. To overcome this sudden setback, Stephen diligently researched scholarship, grant, and work options and was able on his own to more than pay for 4 years of college without incurring any student debt. Then the ambitious, confident Stephen Roberts took what he'd learned and founded his College Cash Champion coaching organization, wrote his acclaimed book, Winning the Money Game in College, and has gone on to help thousands of people, or students, I should say, and their parents to save big on college. And none of that would have happened if he hadn't had that setback in his own funding. And here's an example from way back in the late 1940s. There was an obscure minor league pitcher in the lower minors from Texas, had a fairly good lifetime record of 22-16, but he hurt his pitching arm and had to give up the sport. And as a backup, he took up music as a career, and a few short years later, he became the world-renowned country and crossover pop singer, Gentleman Jim Reeves. And my personal story is similar, though far less spectacular than Gentleman Jim. If I hadn't lost my CFO job in a corporate takeover in 1986, I undoubtedly never would have written two books on middle age renewal, and I wouldn't be talking to you on this program today. I lived through years of frustration before my transformation occurred, but I'm so very grateful that it did. And I trust in my own small way I inspire you to examine and positively recharge your life, relationships, and career. At midstream, in no way are our best years all behind us. As middle-aged adults, all of us can learn from these past mistakes, though. But in times of trouble, starting over, please don't depend solely upon your own internal resources. I tried to do that for years with no real success. And I don't know where I'd be today if I hadn't been able to communicate with a higher power. As a Christian, I address that higher power as God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and I reach out to them in prayer. If you're Jewish, you seek guidance from Yahweh. If Muslim, from Allah. And if you're agnostic, you may simply refer to the greater power as universal intelligence. But whatever your religious beliefs, here are two irrefutable facts. With our limited capacity for knowledge, it's impossible for any human being to define and fathom fully the divine majesty and complexity of God, the higher power. Can you even begin to think of infinite wisdom? Infinity itself escapes me. It's just so hard to imagine. And as a divine creator, and the second point of a complex universe, the essence of God can best be described by only two words, although no one can capture the full essence of God, but those two words are love and truth. And you know what? There's a little bit of God in every one of us, believe it or not. Remember in the Christian Bible when Jesus proclaims, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me"? In fact, since all of us were created by the same divine power, there is a little bit of God in each and every one of us, and all of us are connected with, in spirit, to everyone else on this planet. Think of God as the ocean, and you and I as individual waves. And to expand our knowledge and understanding and to have our prayers answered, it is essential that we reach out beyond our own little wave of existence by connecting with the unlimited resources of the universe. You can't get too far by just re-examining your own internal thoughts and existence. In prayer, that is what we should be asking God to help us to do. And because the universe has no beginning or end, reaching out honorably without malice to meet our goals in no way detracts from the peace, welfare, and well-being of others unless we purposely step on another person to get what we want. That just won't work long term. And of course, when we pray for healing for ourselves or for a loved one, or pray for someone to get out of a difficulty or out of the way of a tough situation, we won't always receive an immediate self-satisfying response, and the response may be far different from that we expected, because bad events, hurricanes, car wrecks, job loss, terminal illness, premature death of a loved one, all too often they happen to good people, people we love, people we know, and to us. But with a positive, confident outlook, you and I are able to control how we react to external events, good or bad, and that's what makes all the difference. Now, I don't believe that the divine being predetermines or controls every moment of our lives on earth, from birth to passing away. You know, without God's wonderful gift of free will, we humans, in fact, would be very little different from horses, cattle, dogs, birds of the air, even insects that we step on, all of which react solely on instinct. In spite of our free will, God and the universe do routinely place opportunities in front of every one of us. You know, the difference between success and failure, joy and sorrow, contentment or frustration, is our ability to spot opportunities and to take advantage of them when they present themselves. And it's so much easier to take advantage if you believe in yourself 100%, have a solid understanding, although a realistic understanding, of who you are. What are your passions, likes and dislikes, emotions, strengths, and shortcomings? Do you have a positive, realistic vision of the person you seek to become? That's the positive law of attraction. And here's one final piece of advice for your unemployed, indebted graduate, and for you. Relax. You don't have to resolve every single challenge today, tomorrow, or next week. If there's one thing you and I should have learned by middle age, whatever today's loss or difficulty, something better may lie just around the corner. So often, good comes out of bad, doesn't it? Today's romantic breakout or even a divorce won't matter a lick within 3 months when you meet your lifelong soulmate and mutually fall in love. Or maybe it'll be 3 years from now or even 10 years. Timing isn't always precise, but the results may be there. And the job offer you didn't receive will fade from memory once you land your dream job, one precisely suited to your talent, temperament, and passion. And for heaven's sake, keep looking. And here's one final piece of advice to give your frustrated adult offspring seeking to launch a career. Sit down before them and say, "Son or daughter, sit back, close your eyes, and take a few deep breaths. Concentrate on the wonderful, one-of-a-kind individual you are, the unique value you bring to the world and to a potential employer, and concentrate on the milestones you would most like to accomplish over the breadth of your life and your career and your productive years. Now ask yourself, what matters most in my life? What is the intended top rung of my career? How much am I willing to sacrifice to climb to that top rung? You know, every one of us doesn't have to end up a CEO. There are a lot of very fulfilling and honorable careers that don't involve being a leader, if that's not what you want to do. And guess what? Once you have a clear vision of who you are, where you want to focus your passion, strengths you bring to the table, and where you want to end up, you'll be miles ahead of your competition. Never sell yourself short, but don't put all your eggs in one basket. Always keep in mind a series of potential backup options, and be prepared to spring whenever an opportunity arises. You know, I offer a whole chapter on mental vacations in my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, and I suggest you read the chapter for yourself, then review it with your recent or soon-to-be college graduate. And you can preview A Midlife Challenge Wake Up online at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com or through our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And believe me, if you take time out now to envision and plan your future, before long you will locate that ideal position or a new venture. You'll be hired or launch it yourself, and you will grow with your small business or your employer. because when you love what you're doing, success is never far away. And long-term, a positive result, wherever you're starting from, will arrive. It may not be today, it may not be next week, but it'll come, I promise you. And that's it for today, and join us next week when we talk about why at middle age you can be great at reinvention, forgiveness, and doing. And I'll talk with you then on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his middle age renewal training system by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.